Shara Bitochon, Lady Shear, Wednesday afternoon, Shara Bitochon, or Le, no, Dalatamos, today is Dalatamos, and Shara Bitochon. Okay, Chavis Halvavos, Shara Bitochon, and we will commence with Perek Vav. Perek Vav is very, very interesting, fascinating. Perek, it's just a little depressing because Perek, I'm sorry, you're right, thank you. Perek, it's a little depressing because Chavis Halvavos says the telltale signs of a Baal Bitochon or Baalas Bitochon, either, well, why does he give those signs? Well, it could be for clarification purposes. The problem is that in the Chavis Halvavos' world, the Baal Bitochon is not living a very different life than the not Baal Bitochon, because of the obligation of the shtadlus, going to work, the time he puts aside for learning, for chesed, for davening. Where do you find the difference? Where does Bitochon make a difference in your life? So it could be for clarity. It could be to know who to hang around with, because you want to be friends with a Baal Bitochon or a Baalas Bitochon, and it could be for yourself, because people always ask questions. Why a Bitochon? So you read this, and you say, I guess I don't. But you'll see. Because we all pay, you know, everybody believes in Hashem. We're talking to people who say they believe in Hashem. So if Amunah's the tree and Bitochon's the fruit, what's the problem? The difference between he or she who is Boteach Elokim. Boteach means as defined in Perek Aleph, and Perek Beis, and Perek Gimel, and Perek Dalet. That's what, not, you know, not some vague idea of trust or faith, but the way it's described in Perek Aleph, the Beis, that you're totally serene and you're totally calm. So the Zulaso, when the opposite of the Indian Hisasku Basibus Ateref, when it comes to making a Parnasa, but that's the Chavis Halvavos, that's the major description of someone involved in Olam Hazeh. And that's our major Hishtadlus, that's what occupies most of our Olam Hazeh. Halavai should be that way, we shouldn't have health issues. But under normal circumstances, when we don't have major health issues, yeah, did you return the key? Man. Oh, good. Okay, thank you. If we don't have major health issues, so then money. Pay the bills, pay the mortgage, pay the rent. So that's our involvement in Olam Hazeh, usually centers around money. Omar, ki avoteach Elokim yibodel. Different. Mizula Saboteach Olah, someone who's not Boteach Elokim, B'shivan Yanim. Right? Chazonus loves lists, and now he makes a list of seven differences. Echad Mehem, number one. Ki Aboteach Elokim wrote Bedino B'chol in Yonov. The Boteach who. The Boteach is able to accept, is able to fulfill that we accept whatever Hashem is goes there for us, whether it's Beinu Tova, Bein if it seems Ra'a. The Gemara says Chayiv Adam Mavarech Al Ra'a Kshem Shemavarech Al Tova, and it's not just a bracha. The Gemara says that's not a chiddush. You know, you meant to make a bracha. We can make a bracha. Dianet, no problem. The Gemara says you have to make it with a sense of joy, with a sense of, you know, Hashem's will is being done. Without going into too heavily the idea of the sense of joy that you have to feel, but it's a Gemara, it's not Musar, Sefer, it's not Kabbalah, it's not Lezer Brody, it's a Gemara that you have to make the Dayan Hemes Basimcha, which is really, really difficult to make it Basimcha, but that's an imperative, it's in the Gemara, and it's in Halacha. But it's Hashem's will is being done, so you're cool with it, you're okay with it, you're good with it. Maybe again, there are subtleties. Do you wish it would be otherwise? Maybe, you know, halavai, we wouldn't wish it would be otherwise, because if this is what Hashem is doing, then it really can't be otherwise, because if it would be otherwise, if it could be otherwise, then it would be otherwise. Mm-hmm. So it's like sort of a immature wish, like, I wish it was raining today instead of snowing. Yeah, but it's supposed to snow, so that's why it's snowing. It's not supposed to rain. Or if it's raining, say it will be colder, it will be snowing. That's why it's not cold. It's not supposed to snow. So what does it have to do with bitachon? Because remember, bitachon, again, you got to go back to, he's not necessarily defining bitachon in this perek. He's talking about the seven obvious characteristics of a Baal Bitachon in contradistinction to a not Baal Bitachon. So the Baal Bitachon, remember, has all the qualities of Perek Beis. He knows everything's from Hashem. He knows Hashem only is Meitiv. He knows Hashem is a Baal Chesed. He knows Hashem does things for him even if he doesn't deserve it. And so on and so forth. And there's no one else that can harm him or help him, for that matter, if it's not the will of Hashem. So that boteach, if someone develops bitachon and has a keenly developed sense that everything that happens is from Hashem, which is, you know, I mean, if I ask for a show of hands, look at me like, well, Rabbi, you wouldn't drink our wine if we touched our wine. We touch the one. What do we have? Recursive? Of course, everything's from Hashem. Yeah. If you really, it's from Hashem, and everything Hashem does is good, and the best possible scenario, we welcome it. So that's about bitachon. Someone who really has bitachon is able to say, "This is the. I welcome what happened." Rotsa bedino b'chol inyona. That's a very powerful, difficult statement. I welcome whatever Hashem was gozer on me. So you say, aren't we supposed to daven that we should get better if we're sick? Aren't we supposed to daven that we should have money if we can't make ends meet? Aren't we supposed to daven, you know, for things if they're not happening well? The answer is yes, davening is part of the system. When we say it's the best, it means it's the best for me at this point in time. We know that it's good to have all the money you need. We know that it's good to be healthy, right? From an objective standpoint, we know what's good and what's not good. But everything Hashem does is good means in these circumstances, for me, at this point in my life, whatever I need, what's good for me, right? I had a foot injury for 2 years. Terrible. Not enough. I lost a lot of weight, and if I keep it off, it'll turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to me. So I suffered for 2 years, but if I can keep off the weight, and if I lose more, that's like, thank you, Hashem, that's wonderful.
So, the question is like this, you get some Yisurim, from Hashem.
Let's not talk about personal things.
Everyone has Yisurim, unfortunately.
Right.
Hashem gives them, because he feels you should have them, maybe for tikkun or something.
We don't know why. There are many possible reasons, but you have the Baal Bitachon welcomes it and says Hashem's doing it for a reason, for a purpose, it's not random, and there's a cheshbon behind it, and the cheshbon is good.
But if we are going to daven that it goes away,
Then
we're not fulfilling what Hashem wants us to do.
Maybe Hashem wants you to daven. The Imos didn't have children for so many years because Hashem wanted them to increase the intensity. So you don't know. So again, we know on an objective scale, we know it's good to have children. We know it's good to have money. We know it's good to be healthy. So there's a reason why it's good for me not to be healthy. Why it's good for me not to have children. Why it's good for me to be in poverty. There's a reason. And I am sure that reason is kicked in now. I daven because maybe Hashem wants me to daven. Look at the Imohos. If you need examples, you have Adam Arishon davening for rain. You have the Imohos davening for children. Children, right? So maybe Hashem wants me to daven. Maybe it's a kapara. maybe it's like this, you know, you say you lose weight, like something else happens. Maybe Hashem wants you to make a friend that you'll make because things are not going well, so you look for a friend, and you hook up and you develop a certain relationship that you wouldn't have developed otherwise. You don't know. Your attitude is, at this point, it's the best thing for me, but you don't know why. So you're allowed to daven because we know, again, it's a, we know from an objective viewpoint. That's why we can make dianemis. You say, well, if it's great news, why don't I always make hatova hametiv? Why am I making dianemis for it? There's no such thing as bad news. Of course, we know that there's an objective scale where it's bad. It's a tragedy. We know that. Subjectively, it's good. In the flow of history, in Hashem's game plan for what's going on in the world, in this jigsaw puzzle with billions and billions and billions of pieces called Olam Hazeh, called history, right? Something. So we know that there's a reason and it fits in. So again, we can daven, we do tshuva, we struggle. You make sure you're doing enough ishtadlus. You don't go overboard with ishtadlus because you know it's sent from Hashem. And you know, right, you have to develop a sense of where's the bar of ishtadlus. You're not doing enough ishtadlus, right? Someone doesn't put bars on their windows. And chas v'shalom, a child, yeah? So, you know, I wonder why that happened to me. I guess I got to do tshuva for having a long sheitel. No, you have to do tshuva for not having bars on your windows. That's what you have to do tshuva for. Really? Because there's a certain bar of ishtadlus. And that's the first thing you should look at. If you're doing proper ishtadlus. Now, if you go overboard with ishtadlus, it means you don't have bitachon. So, right? Yeah, it's tough. This is tough. Yeah. This is why we're learning shara bitachon. To get that. So the first of the 7 points is that the Baal Bitachon, I'm saying now my words, not Chazal Lovitz's words, the Baal Bitachon has a keen sense that everything that happens is from Hashem, or else he wouldn't be able to have Bitachon. Has a keen sense that Hashem has a reason and a purpose for doing it, or else he wouldn't be able to have Bitachon. How can you rely on Hashem if you think Chas v'Shalom Hashem does things at random? Hashem is just being arbitrary, or Hashem just wants to play around with you. Your life, which we all feel sometimes. Hashem just, Hashem rolled the dice and it came out here. Right? So the Baal Bitachon has a keen sense that Hashem is running the world, a keen sense that there's a purpose. We don't understand the purpose, but chas v'shalom, to think it's random or that an accident happened, then I think the first step should be I don't know if this is a general rule, but what comes to mind is that the first step should be make sure your ishtadlus level is proper and make sure you daven. Davening and ishtadlus should be your first stop. Then we get to kapora, tshuva, taka, tightening up. We're talking here to people, nobody here in this room has any averus. The females in this room have no averus. But you gotta tighten, the screws get loose and you gotta tighten up. Tighten up the davening, tighten up the tzniyah, you tighten up. If things tend to come loose after a while, right? So you gotta take a screwdriver, right? And the leg of the table starts getting shaky if you don't, if you just let it sit. So that's number one. The Beteach Hashem welcomes what Hashem does. Why? I'm saying, because the Baal Bitachon has a keen sense that it's from Hashem, and that there's a purpose, and that Hashem is a mative. Or else it wouldn't be able to have bitachon. You get bitachon because you developed the 7 things. This is Perek A already. It means you've been through Perek Beis. You've been through Perek Gimel. You have or else you wouldn't be about bitachon. Yeah, you went through Perek Beis and Gimel, and that's how you developed bitachon, or else you didn't develop bitachon, right? If you didn't use the handbook, you didn't develop bitachon. So you went through Perek Beis and Gimel. You developed bitachon because you thought about the 7 things in Perek Beis. Because you went through the 5 things in Perek Gimel, and you realize that you have to do your shir, and you realize you have to do Hishtadlus, which is number 5 of the 5 things in Perek Gimel. Number 5 is that you have to do Hishtadlus, which we call Hishtadlus, but Zohar doesn't call it that. Umodelo ala tova v'ala ra'a, and you're able to, thank or welcome, or the Gemara says, be happy. There's no question about it. Now, the Chovet HaLevavos says, really, and this makes it even harder than being happy, is that you're not supposed to even think that you wish it could be different. Maybe I wish I didn't have Averis, I didn't have to have Yisurim. That's okay. But not, you know, I wish my Yisurim would have been in the field of money, not in the field of my physical health. You don't say that. Hashem is doing the best possible Yisurim that you can have, whether it's the easiest for you, or maybe because it's the hardest for you. Whatever it is, it's the best. You're not supposed to think, if I was Hashem, I wouldn't do that. No, that's it. You know, or let Hashem test me or punish me in a different area. This one is, Hashem is testing us and punishing us in the way he knows is perfect, bullseye. Kamosha Omar, Hashem Nosum Hashem Lokach, Yishem Hashem Mavorach. You know, what he stressed, the famous phrase, Eov said it. And the point is, the second half of the pasuk, Hashem Nosum Hashem Lokach, is Emunah. Yishem Hashem Mavorach is number one of the seven, that you're blessing Hashem. You say, thank you, Hashem. I'm praising you, Hashem. You are taking care of me. Thank you for not ignoring me, right? You're looking at me, I'm meaningful to you. Maybe that's where the simcha comes from. It's not so, you know, where does the simcha supposed to come from? The Gemara demands the simcha. That's what kishem means. The Gemara says, you know, if you just make a bracha on Dianemus, so say make a bracha. What do you mean just like? How come it doesn't say, just like you make a bracha on a glass of water, you make a bracha on bad news? What do you mean, just like you make a bracha on good news, you make a bracha on bad news? Say, just like you make a bracha on drinking water. Morris says, it means that you have this sense of elation and happiness, and you welcome it just as much if it's good news. Yishem Hashem Avorach. Hashem is doing the best possible thing for me at this point in my life, the way I am now. You know, in Yiddish you say, we mishtaten geit. The way things are now, this is the best thing that could have happened to me. If you want to wish, say, I wish I was a bigger tzaddik, and I didn't need a kick in the pants. That's what you could wish. Wish about yourself. Don't wish Hashem would have done things differently, because differently only is worse. Because Hashem always does the best for us. That's part of my bitachon mentality. That's why I developed bitachon. Otherwise, back to Berg Bays and say you can't become Bob Bitachon. If you don't believe that everything Hashem does is the best possible way, so how can I rely on Hashem for anything? I can't rely on Hashem. Ukmo Shakos of Chesed Umishpat Ashira, the Amr of Hosseinu Zechonim Lebracha, Im Chesed Ashira, the Umishpat Ashira. This is all the Amr Kaibadim Lebarach Alarok, Shemkin Lebarach Alatova. Someone who doesn't have bitachon, who doesn't rely on Hashem, who doesn't have this keenly developed sense that Hashem is doing everything in his or her life, and it's with a cheshbon, and we need it with a good cheshbon. So when something good happens, he takes credit. And when good happens, he pats himself on the back and feels he's smart and he's capable and he's tichting and he's clever and he's sharp and he's street smart and he figured out how to make a killing in the market. But then when the stocks go down, so it's Hashem's fault. And then he gets angry. Now, why is Hashem doing this to me? He didn't say why Hashem was doing this to me when he was rich. He didn't say why is Hashem doing this to me. K'moshenemar v'oya k'yirav v'hiskatzeth. He gets angry, resentful, v'kileil v'malko v'elokov upon olamol. So that's number one. Number one is welcoming whatever happens to you. That is the trait of the Baal Gitov. When you see someone doing this, if it's a self-test, if you can't do it, it means there's a lack in your bitachon. This is the test. Obviously, the test is introspective, right? It's not a written test, it's not an oral test, it's a chovas halavavos test. So you have to be introspective and take the test. Actually, someone devised a written test on bitachon. A guy David Rosemarin. He's a psychologist, and he wrote a lot of he wrote a lot of papers about this Frum themes, and one of them is how bitachon promotes or gives you mental stability, mental health, which is, you know, pretty much is logical. And but he gave out questionnaires, like he did it in the very so if you Google it, his name is Rosemarin, and you may come up with his questionnaire. It's, you know, like 100 questions.
I'm afraid
I'll
fail.
What?
I'm afraid I'll fail. I won't Google.
Well, that's why Chavik Lotus keeps it down to 7 things. But that was a good question, and that's the answer. Because maybe Hashem wants us to daven. We know that by the emails. We don't know what Hashem, why it's the best. So we welcome it, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to escape it. You can use objective standards. We know what's good. We know what's healthy. Health is good. Money is good. Children is good. Relationships are good. We know what's good, objectively. That might not be the best thing for me at this point in my life. Okay, Vashemi. This is really very closely related to this first. The second is that you're happy. You're actually happy. The first is more of a mental attitude that you welcome it and you're not angry. The second is that you're calm and you're serene, and not necessarily bad news, it's problems. The second one is addressing problems. Right? You should look for a child, parnasa is not working out. You don't even maybe have a tzara, or that you can call it a ra'ah, and you welcome Hashem's gzeira, but you have to deal with things and you feel overwhelmed and you're nervous. And who doesn't get nervous? Who doesn't get scared? And who doesn't worry? So the Baal Bitachon doesn't worry. Baal Bitachon, this is like the basic definition of Parakalot. The Baal Bitachon is serene and calm as he or she copes with whatever they have to cope with. And everybody at the cope. Nobody says to go home, curl up in the fetal position, and go to sleep. To cope. But you're calm. It's going to work out. Hashem. Someone came to talk to me the other day. They're moving to Israel. They're trying to decide where to live. So, discussed it, started them. You know, which city, which area, etc. And the woman, like the wife, was nervous. I don't know, sure, maybe an exaggeration, but she was very, very nervous, because then it gets overwhelming, because no place is perfect, right? So this has this chisara, this has that chisara, this has this mila, this has that mila, and how do you really know? And it depends who you talk to. Because you meet the person that had a bad experience, so they say, you don't really know. And so I said, look, and this is important, this is the second principle. I said, you're not choosing between good and bad. There's no Tov and Ra here. You're moving to Eretz Yisrael, that's Tov. So which city you live in is like chocolate or vanilla ice cream. It's not, Hashem's going to send you where he wants to send you. It's not a choice. You're not really choosing. You think you are, but you're not really choosing. So just, and then you're going to come. Because if Hashem wants you to live in Yerushalayim, so everybody you ask about Ramat Beit Shemesh will say it's a terrible place to live. And if Hashem wants you to live in Ramat Beit Shemesh, then everybody you ask is going to say Yerushalayim is very difficult. It's very difficult to live there. There's no communities there. And Americans, it's not healthy to live in Yerushalayim. Right? Hashem, the same thing. Hashem sends you to the people that are going to say whatever they're going to say, because Hashem is maneuvering it. I said, it's not Ra and Tov. A very important principle. If it's not Ra and Tov, there's really no Bechira. You're just a pawn in Hashem's, you're a pawn in Hashem's hands. And everybody you ask information about what they think of their opinion, schools, and about the shuls, and about the people, about the women, about the men, is all Hashem is going to send you to the people so that you could hear the answer that's going to influence your decision a certain way. Why do I say that? I'm assuming it's not Rat Latov.
Right.
And that's a very important thing. And once, if we could get to that point, we'd be gone. Hashem is running the show. Hashem is in control. I'm just a pawn. Right, my daughter's going to meet the boy she's supposed to marry when the time comes, and my son is going to meet the girl he's going to marry when his time comes. There's no Ran Tov here, right? So with Hashem, I'm just a pawn, and I'll just play along. Okay, I'm doing fabulous, etc., etc. But so you, like, if you really have it, you think it's absolutely absurd and ridiculous to be nervous. Right. We sort of went nervous. Okay, I got to work on myself not to be nervous. Well, because I'm nervous. I'm nervous. Hashem's writing the script. Hashem's running the show. Hashem's deciding what to do. Okay, but that's how we are. A human being is nervous. He keeps looking at him when the bus is coming. And then he knows it doesn't make a difference how many times he looks down the street. But now he said he can press a few buttons. So you'll know when it's coming, so you shouldn't be nervous. Night star, whatever it is, and you punch in the number. Yeah, they have their very sophisticated things. They have the numbers at the bus stops, you punch in, and you know, like, because you're nervous, it's only, okay, you could say it's for people who are going to be late for appointments, so it's very useful information. But really, we're nervous, right? You peer over the platform, looking when the train's going to come. So that, and that you know you don't control. So that's just human condition. A kaponim, but the chagavavus is putting nervousness as a shlav and bitachon. If you really had bitachon, you wouldn't be nervous, because you would know everything's from Hashem. And there's no round talk about, so you're really not. You're in the audience. Hashem is making everything happen. We're supposed to. Ba'ashen ki batech alokim. Nafsho b'menucha, calm, libo shalei, mitzalek zeros. Whatever problems and issues they have, I mean, problems and issues can be overwhelming, and of course, it could be overwhelming, but we're talking about now being nervous about it, which makes it even more overwhelming, right? And being tense about it, which makes it even more overwhelming. Tumult. He knows Hashem is going to do the best possible thing for him, so he's calm. I'll be quiet. So again, I think the first paragraph, number one on the list, was coping with bad news, with tragedies. Number two is coping with living life, right? And then to wait, what's going to be, and totally this one and that one. So you're not really, you're only totally in Hashem. Hashem's taking care. Again, I hear that as long as it's not Ra'at Tov. If it's Ra'at Tov, then you have a bechira to make. So go make it. L'dayta ki abori anigin l'tovaso ba'olomo v'achriso. Will be the best possible scenario for you. He's always resentful and pained. And he's nervous. Because things don't work out the way he wants to, so he gets upset and he gets angry. He overreacts, or he gets resentful. It always accompanies him. He has like black cloud following him around with this problem in his mind. A tova that they meet with soso b'matzavo u'shifaso l'holso for the harbos v'lichnos. If his things are good, he wants them to be better. He wants more. Eshlomone wrote to Messiah. So he's nervous. He's got to keep it up. Keep going. uvarah, and if things are not good, so then he doesn't want it at all. He doesn't want it. He's upset about it. He's angry about it. Neshu kosbo, he can neget haboso v'tivoso umidoso. Chinam rachochem kodim ein ivroim. Tov leiv mishne tovit. This is such a beautiful, beautiful pasuk. Sums it up. Kodim ein ivroim is the not bal bitachon. He's miserable. What's the life being miserable? There are people, I mean, you know, use the word miserable. People will go through life and they're very noticeably unhappy. You see that. They say, well, of course I'm unhappy because, I don't know, I'm unhappy because I'm having issues with my husband. Okay? So it's possible that there's Ran Tov involved and you have to get some lessons how to act. So you say, me, let him get the lessons. Which is true, but you may need lessons how to deal with a husband who's not taking lessons. Which is also a chachma. And they do that, you know, at some point they do that. They say, go and learn how to cope with the husband who... And if it's not your choice, if it's not up to you, then it's Hashem. So like, what are you nervous about? It'll work out. It'll work out in the best possible way. That's really what I wanted to say. Not, once it's not Bechira, like I told this lady, once it's not Ra'o Tov, so Hashem wants you to live in a certain place, wants you to live in the place that's best for you, and it might not be what you're thinking. Right? And just go with the flow, and do due diligence, because that's Ishtablos, is due diligence. And don't be nervous. What are you nervous about? There's no rotten tov. I said, it's mamish. I said, you think that you're nervous because you don't know what to do. And if it would only be rotten tov, then you wouldn't be nervous. You wouldn't be nervous. I said, it's not like that. If it's rotten tov, you should be nervous that you're bocher and you're able to do tov. Because it's up to you. Because Hashem doesn't mix into your decision. So now you have to be nervous if you can do Tov. If it's not Ran Tov, so then you have nothing to be nervous about. It's not up to you. Hashem is pulling the strings. Hashem is doing everything. Hashem is deciding everything. So you just have to make sure you do due diligence, which you're obviously doing. So you're nervous about the Rabbah. Which is that's how we are. We like to be in control. That's the problem with us humans. We like to be in control. So therefore, if it's Bechira, we're not nervous because we know what we have to do. We're in control. We know what to do. So now it's just a question of doing it. But if we don't know what to do, so we're nervous. If the Adarab, if you don't know what to do, you shouldn't be nervous. There's no wrong thing. And Hashem has already made a decision. He's making the decision. Okay, so that's number two. Number one, it's very closely related one and two, because they both talk about welcoming and accepting and realizing that it's from Hashem and it's for Tova. But the first one is really dealing with tragedies and Chayav Adam Lebarech, and the second one is dealing with problems, issues. I don't know what to do. So we're talking about the nervousness of it. But the Rasha is not happy with what he has. And if he doesn't have enough, if he has enough, he wants more. If he doesn't have enough, he's certainly nervous. Okay, that's number two. Kol me ani roim the tov leiv mishta tovit. Vashlishi, number three. Ki aboteach belotim v'misasek besibos, even as he does his ishtadlus. This is already a difficult. This is a description, but it's hard to implement. And that is, no matter how much he's besasing besibos to Baal Bitachon, but you see and you know that he knows it's not the Hishtablus that's doing it. As I said a few thousand times, the Pshat and Hishtablus is not that Hashem will do 95% and he wants you to do 5%. That's not the Pshat Nishtablus. Pshat Nishtablus is he wants you to go through the motions. He's always doing 100%. He wants you to go through certain motions. He always explains back in Sharabon Salakim why he wants you to go through those motions. But otherwise, right, so that's up to, we have to not rely on our hishtadlus. We have to know that our hishtadlus is not what's doing it. It might be doing it indirectly, and by that I mean, as I said before, if you don't do proper hishtadlus, then you might suffer that you're doing something wrong. I'll call it an aveira. It is an aveira. It's not an aveira in the sense I ate something not kosher, but if I didn't do hishtadlus, I am going against the will of Hashem. Hashem wants me to do hishtadlus. So, when you suffer, if Chas v'Shalom, you suffer the consequences of your inaction, of your lack of proper hishtadlus, so you only have yourself to blame. It's not the pshat. The hishtadlus, like, works. This is what you're supposed to do, and if you don't do it, you're gonna suffer the consequences of not doing it. Yeah.
Well, you're saying that's not the case, or is the case?
It might be that you're suffering. Again, the child falls out of it. Chas v'Shalom. Yeah. So you don't have to go far to, Hashem did this to me. But you didn't put bars in your window. So like, that's bad. You did something wrong. You did something evil. You did something against the will of Hashem. So you're suffering the consequences of your actions. Like every aveira, you suffer the consequences of your actions. But it's not the pshat. The child was supposed to die on this day. It was Nigzer when he was born.
Meaning, if you didn't put bars on your window, something else would have happened. You would have gotten sick or... But then it's like an added punishment, though, to the parent. Because
well, they're being punished, not putting on bars. I'm talking about if they didn't put on bars. If they were negligent. I picked an extreme case to bring out the point. Like, and this is the story with every, you know, Paro was punished, Bnei Yisrael was supposed to be in Golos, but Paro was punished, so there he did something overtly evil. And we don't think of lack of hishtadlus that way.
I think that a lot of the nervousness comes from not knowing how much is enough hishtadlus or how much is too much hishtadlus and how much.
I want to respond to that. There's no reason to worry. If you have bitachon, so then if you do a little too much hishtadlus, who cares? It's a mental attitude. And also, it's not like eating on Yom Kippur. I ate on Yom Kippur. I did an aveira. I did too much hishtadlus. If you have the right attitude and you have bitachon and you just did too much hishtadlus because, you know, you didn't know. But your mental, I took a full page yet for my business instead of a half a page yet. So, okay, but if I have the right attitude, then I'm going to get the customers anyway. Except I have to advertise because that's my hishtadlus. And I thought, you know, a full page yet seems pretty normal. But my attitude is it's not the yet that's going to bring me customers, it's Hashem. So there's no, it's wrong to worry, maybe I did too much hishtadlus. Too much hishtadlus is not the aveira. It's not like eating something treif. It's not like you did an aveira, you did too much hishtadlus. Too much hishtadlus is really just indicative that you don't have bitachon. Now, sometimes it's not indicative. Like I said, I don't do a full page yet, rather than even think about it, you know. I can afford a full page yet, so I'll just do it, you know. But you have a good sense that it's not the air, that it's Hashem, and you know, you have your bitachon intact. So you don't have to worry too much hishtadlus. A person should never worry doing too much hishtadlus, because too much hishtadlus is not an objective isser that he's doing something wrong. What you have to check is if you have the right attitude, if you have bitachon. So, too much hishtadlus is only a manifestation of lack of bitachon. And it's not always a manifestation of lack of bitachon. It could be a manifestation of laziness. It could be a manifestation of you made a mistake and you thought this is what's needed. You thought if you don't, if you take a full page in or a half page in, I have to take a full page in. If I take a half page in, no one's going to look at it. They're just going to turn the page. So it's not hishtadlus, right? It's not going to catch anyone's eye. They're just going to turn the page. And that's what everyone tells me, and that's what everyone who wants to open a new shop or a new store or a new service, and they take a full page here. That's the norm. Okay, so you have to worry you made a mistake. It's not like trace. And you have to make sure you have the right attitude. That it's not the ear that's bringing me in people. Why don't I run a one-line thing in the classifieds? If that's okay. The answer is, because that's not normal. It's not normal. Because if you have the right attitude, you should never worry. The only thing you should worry about is that if you feel compelled to go over the line in Ishtadlus, then maybe it's a sin that you don't have to be tochim. That's all. So if you check, don't worry about the Ishtadlus end. Worry about the bitachon end. Then it doesn't matter, even if you do too much. So who cares if you have the right attitude? But then I'll ask you, if you have the right attitude, why do you do so much? Say, I don't know, but I didn't have koyach to figure it out. I didn't have time, I didn't have koyach, I didn't have energy. That could be true, right? I didn't like this, that's all. Why'd you call? Oh, okay, let's learn it. Any questions? Okay. So the shlishi is that you have the right attitude towards your status. Although he's being misasik besibos, which is the Chachamavus' word, the Hishtadlus, busying yourself with causes. But he's not relying on them. He knows that's not where it's at. It's at Hashem's door. It's not at the door of whatever he's doing. He's not relying on them. He's just going through the motions. Why? Because Hashem wants him to go through the motions. Why? Chazal just explained it earlier in the Shara. Why Hashem wants us to go through the motions. Everything is determined by Hashem's will. Saying, because Hashem wants you to do Ishtadlus, Hashem wants you to build up the world, Hashem wants you to do something instructive for the world. So that's why you're doing it, because you're doing the will of Hashem. V'yim tagiyehu to'eles o yitche bohen hanezek, and if things work out, or they don't work out, yodel kim levado alzeh. He's not going to get angry at the guy that gave him the bad stock tip. He's not going to be upset at the one that steered him wrong. He's not going to be. He knows everything's from Hashem. If he was successful, it's from Hashem. If he was damaged, it's from Hashem. Because the things he did are not the point. They're not the thing bringing about the result. You won't fall in love with your Hishtadlus, right? That's why you end up doing too much, because you fell in love with your Hishtadlus. Because people do that. I mean, this happens all the time. People fall in love with their Hishtadlus, right? They fall in love with, because the whole life is Parnassus Hishtadlus, right? So they fall in love, and they can't pull themselves away. He knows it's as if there's no such thing as Ishtadlus in the world. He's directly, communing with Hashem. He knows it's Hashem. The lo yo ilu asibos yeda ki yivo eyu tarpo kiyir to Hashem. If he has a slow month, he didn't earn this month, things slow down, so excited. But then Hashem, I'm going to kick me in the pants. Let's provide me for next month. See? At what point do you call it quits? I don't have an answer. But again, I say this a million times. So you don't need an answer from me. If you have bitachon, you will know when to call it quits. Because you have bitachon. So at some point, your heart will say to you, this is not working. Maybe Hashem wants me to do something else. And if you have bitachon, you can trust that feeling. If you don't have bitachon, you can't trust that feeling. Because it's really because you don't have bitachon, so you really want to try something that the Ishtadlus, will get you something out of it. Okay, it's fine.